Hello, and welcome to the Emerging Leaders podcast series. This series is brought to you by the Iowa Pharmacy Association, the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin, and the Tennessee Pharmacists Association. This podcast is designed for leaders at all levels as part of a lifelong process of developing leadership skills. We will discuss leadership hot topics from imposter syndrome to disruptive innovation. My name is Megan Grant, and I am the Director of Marketing, Communication, and Design at the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin. Today, we're joined by Drea Meyer and Mike Grunsky, and we're going to discuss pharmacist role in primary care.
So to kick it off, I'm Drea Meyer. I am obviously a pharmacist by trade and kind of had what I would call an atypical career trajectory into my current role, which is Director of Ambulatory Pharmacy Services for SSM Health, mainly focused in the Wisconsin region and taking what we do here to the rest of SSM Health in other states as well. And I say I have an atypical career trajectory because I did a PGY1 general practice residency out of pharmacy school, and actually spent about 10 years in the acute care hospital setting, doing a whole variety of things. And then about 10 years into my career, made the switch and was fortunate to get a position as a primary care clinical pharmacist at SSM Health, and then have been with them for the past 6 years and transitioned from a primary care pharmacist to a supervisor manager, and now fully administrative role as the director. So did not do a specific ambulatory care residency, and that's my story. SSM Health, just for a little program background, and then I'll have Mike go, is we have been in the ambulatory space for a number of years. There were some innovative leaders prior to me who implemented the program, and we've been doing AC clinics and things for a long time, but our primary care clinical pharmacy program started about 8 years ago within Dean Medical Group, which is, it was started from a population health vision early on. And that's because we have an integrated delivery network. So we have a health plan and pharmacy benefit manager and the care delivery system kind of all integrated together. And that's where the program began from. And I'll talk more about the services as we go along. So I'm going to let Mike introduce himself and his practice site.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. It's great to be here. You know, it's kind of interesting listening to Drea's introduction and just thinking about my own pathway to where I am today. I like to think I'm still a new young pharmacist, but I guess unfortunately that's not the case. I've been practicing now for about 25 years. And in fact, I'm a product of the UW, University of Wisconsin here, their School of Pharmacy, going back to the mid-90s. And at that time, which seems almost unthinkable, there wasn't an all PharmD program at that point. And I actually first joined pharmacy school in their bachelor's program. And during that time decided that I was going to continue on for my PharmD. So that was an optional degree program at that time. So in fact, my PharmD program then only had 19 people in it. So it was really quite small. I graduated, just for reference, back in 97. And at that time, I did decide to do a residency, which even though they're quite commonplace now, they were really quite rare back then. But I did decide to do that because I really had an interest to take what I learned in school and really get a position where I could practice at a high clinical level. When I graduated, I really had that love of both critical care and ambulatory care. I wanted that hybrid job where I could do both. I thought I could be one of those super pharmacists, but you know, I was really guided by some good leaders that I had to make a decision. And I did make that decision, and I started right off in a family medicine position with Aurora Healthcare, and worked in that position for nearly 13 years. It was kind of a split position where I worked both clinic half my time and then in a more traditional pharmacy dispensing location the other half. And then about 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to make a career transition coming over to the VA, and that's where I am now. I'm at the Zabaki VA here in Milwaukee. I've been here for about 10 years, and I work within our primary care clinics here. And really the reason for that change, I had a good position at the time, but this was an opportunity to come to a fully 100% ambulatory primary care physician. And that has been where I've worked ever since. So that's kind of my background.
Fantastic. So I think there are probably differences that we'll kind of highlight as we chat here a little bit, but there are differences between the VA practice model and probably our SSM health model that we'll chat about. But in general, Mike, I think we wanted to talk about kind of what unique or specialized services are provided specifically by your primary care practice team at Zablocki VA at this time.
Yeah, you know, it is kind of different. We work under a model, and this is a national model within the VA. It's called PACT, or P-A-C-T. It stands for Patient Aligned Care Team. And all of the primary care pharmacists within our site are assigned to different teams. And what that really means is we're assigned to a certain number of providers, PCP providers, whether it be physicians, nurse practitioners. And we work essentially for those specific teams. So as an example, I work for four different primary care provider teams, roughly between 1,000 and 1,200 patients per team. And I assist those providers along with other members of the healthcare team. There's within our teams, we have an RN, a social worker, a dietitian, OPN, administrative support person. And really what each one of us is expected to do is really work to the top of our license so that we can assist those primary care providers so that they can deal with more of the acute care needs of our patients while we can help them with more of the chronic issues that those patients may have. So that's really where my role comes into place. Unlike something that I worked in the private sector, working underneath like a collaborative practice agreement, you know, using those type of tools so that pharmacists can work and assist the teams that they work with and the patients that they're caring for. One thing that's kind of unique in our area is the VA is able to recognize pharmacists as true providers or under that term. We don't really work under a scope of, or excuse me, we don't work under a collaborative practice agreement, but rather we're given a scope of practice. And the scope that we work in primary care, it's really quite vague. It just says that we can work in primary care and we can care for patients within that area. So essentially we can do whatever is needed to care for that patient. And as long as it's post-diagnostic. So we're not allowed to diagnose a patient's medical condition, but once they are diagnosed, we can care for that patient, whether it be ordering tests, labs, or prescribing medications. And in this case, you know, we are looked as the prescriber in that case. So that is something that's really quite unique, you know, and something that's a little bit different from what my former practice site was like, even though we're all still kind of doing the same thing. So as far as the types of disease states that we can manage, it's really quite large. There really isn't necessarily a limit on that. It may involve what our individual providers are asking us to help with, or it might be a patient that we come along that we feel like we can help them with their medication needs. So it's really a neat practice area to be within.
Thanks. I think, yeah, we're probably on a little bit different spectrum, not being within the VA or government system, but to be honest, I think it's actually quite similar as far as scope and practice. We do have a little bit of a mixed model at SSM Health as we've grown and kind of acquired various practice models. So those that may or may not be familiar with Monroe Clinic, which is now part of SSM Health as well, they've had an established ambulatory program for a long time as well. So when we joined, those pharmacists are credentialed providers with a broad scope similar to what Mike just mentioned. And within our other medical groups, they just have broad collaborative practice agreements. They're not currently credentialed, although we're kind of going back and forth on that topic right now. But the vast majority of services provided by our team is chronic disease management, so probably pretty similar there. The pharmacists are embedded directly in the internal medicine or family medicine clinics at our largest clinics throughout the region, and do, you know, independently have their own patient schedules and see, you know, between 8 and 12 patients a day typically, to optimize their medication therapies. And with those collaborative practice agreements in place, they are given a lot of autonomy, similar to the VA services as far as order, changing medications, you know, starting, stopping, ordering labs for monitoring, et cetera. So certainly not diagnosing things, but when it comes to treatment, the providers refer patients, which I think we'll touch on maybe in a little bit. Typically, they'll refer a patient for help with medication management or chronic disease management, and then the pharmacist can kind of take it from there from a treatment standpoint. I would say that our largest patient population, in general, each site and pharmacist practice is a little bit different, but in general, about 70% of why they originally at least get referred is for diabetes management. Another 10% maybe hypertension management, and then a variety of things beyond that. We are working on growing our presence in heart failure at this point. That's just a broad initiative in a lot of places for readmission reduction and guideline-directed medication therapy, and how important it is to quickly optimize these patients' medications to avoid further complications and improve their quality of life. So that is definitely an area of continued growth, and we're happy to have collaborative practice agreements in that area as well.
You know, Andrea, it's really interesting how you mentioned just with the autonomy, you know, of folding on to that medication management. I think that's one thing that's really been interesting to see change over the course of my career. And I think a lot of new pharmacists that are new to the profession or coming into the profession may take that for granted, which is a good thing. I mean, that's something that we definitely should be owning. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago where really that wasn't the case. You know, we were really trying to grab a hold of that and take that on and really show what we can do. So it's nice, you know, to hear other practice settings and, you know, doing that. And it's cool when I see students and residents and new practitioners coming out that, you know, are used to this type of practice setting or type of environment, really wanting to embrace that into their careers. It's really neat to see.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, Mike. And I would take that even one more level. You know, now that we've had this established for some time, we're really seeing it. You know, there's lots of literature out there that suggests that having pharmacists in these roles reduces primary care provider burnout and things like that. But, you know, I think it's pretty exciting to see that when our administration and provider groups use having a pharmacist as part of the care team as a selling point for getting new providers who have recently been in school and residency and realized that team-based care is, you know, a beneficial practice. I think that's pretty cool too. That certainly wasn't always that way. So it's exciting to see the level of practice, the autonomy becoming more normalized, and then seeing even all of our interdisciplinary partners recognizing that and the value of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never encounter a provider that does not want our help. And I don't say that in an arrogant way or anything like that. It's just that they're always very gracious to whatever we can do and are thankful and helpful, or thankful for the help that we provide. And, you know, I think sometimes, if anything, the biggest barrier that might be to advancing our services, sometimes, not always, but might be ourselves, you know, and just realizing, you know, the opportunity that's out there for all the different things that we can do for our patients and for our providers.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that as well. Speaking of that, since you mentioned barriers, I was just kind of curious if you've encountered specific barriers in your practice throughout that might be worth mentioning to this group and how you've overcome them.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I was thinking about that and over the course of my career, what maybe have been some of the biggest barriers. Again, I think a big one is sometimes ourselves, you know, kind of getting comfortable in what we do and just kind of failing to evolve maybe over time. I'll use our example here in Milwaukee. We historically have had pharmacists in primary care long before I got here. In fact, I remember doing a rotation here back in the 80s or 90s, excuse me, not 80s, I'm not that old yet. And they had pharmacists in primary care, but they were doing primarily anechoic. And, you know, that was a great entry for pharmacists into the ambulatory care environment. And that's how a lot of different health systems got pharmacists into clinics, you know, and it continues to be a great place for pharmacists to help patients. But as we were trying to advance our presence beyond that, you know, we had to look at how we needed to, adjust what we did so we could become more efficient or better manage patients so that we could focus on the appropriate disease states. So definitely the advent of DOEX, you know, made anechoic management much easier and took up a lot less time. So that helped, you know, but just thinking about some of those different ways that, you know, just that you need to change sometimes. And sometimes that might involve utilizing other people to help you. Pharmacy technicians, you know, are one of the greatest reasons for our success across our profession. I'm not talking just the VA, I'm talking about the profession in general, and really embracing what they can offer and help us with is a great thing as well.
Yeah, those are excellent examples. And I think, yeah, it's no doubt we kind of, these programs and their evolution, I mean, it's significant. They keep evolving and changing, which I think is exciting, obviously, and there's a lot of opportunity there. But there are certainly barriers that you come across or new ideas and not easy solutions necessarily. But yeah, I think interestingly, our program in some areas we have support staff, but because we're geographically spread out across a variety of clinics, we don't have direct pharmacy support staff as much as we would like to for a variety of things. And so our program's actually at a point of reassessing that barrier and justifying that and hopefully overcoming it soon. But I think, speaking of that, I think probably one of the biggest barriers we have now is just making sure that we have the right technology and tools to continue to show the outcomes and justify, like, there's no doubt, right? No one's questioning the value at this point of having pharmacists in these roles from a population health standpoint and a patient care standpoint, but continuing to efficiently track, you know, the patient populations and the outcomes of what the value is, right? So we're working on a variety of different things, but when I go to ambulatory care conferences and variety of things, and again, the VA situation is probably a little bit different, but I think that's an area of interest in many, even large organizations that have established ambulatory care programs, is what is the best way to track this and use it for feedback and financial analysis and process improvement and things. So obviously we look at clinical outcome improvement, but we also want to see the big picture, right? And be able to go to administration and show reduction in readmissions and reduction in overall healthcare, you know, utilization and expenditures and things like that, which has been proven in many scenarios and studies. But I think our current barriers that we're trying to overcome are being able to easily track that, show that, and, you know, like I said, an ongoing system improvement process to evaluate the programs and then be able to modify it from there. So yeah. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. I agree. And, you know, I think that we sometimes get so involved with just wanting to do patient care, you know, which is what we're here to do, you know, for sure. but we have to remember to be able to tell their story along the way. And, you know, tracking that data, you know, data is king, you know, and it's really important to have that data, because you never know if, even if you're not being asked to show it right now, at some point, there may be someone coming knocking at your door, wanting to know what you personally are doing, or what your team is doing, to really justify what you're doing, you know, and then to get more resources as well, you know, whether it be the technology you're talking about, or just people resources, so that we can have more colleagues, more pharmacists helping us out along this way. Because I don't know about you, but it just seems like our opportunity for workload continues to expand, not retract. And that's a good thing, but it's a challenging thing as well.
100%. Yep, totally agree. Yeah, I actually think we're going to hopefully wrap things up here in the next few minutes, but I think that that's perfect. You know, you're leading us into the path of what's some, you know, advice for people and interested in ambulatory care, primary care, kind of working in these roles early on. And I think you just gave some really good advice as far as like getting ahead of some of the asks, right? And trying to think what will be beneficial, what will they need to know. And actually, I just had a personal experience where I certainly have had many mentors along the way and been to leadership conferences and a variety of things, right? But I know that sharing patient cases or telling our story, I think is the words that you use, Mike, and I like that. I went into a very high level leadership meeting that, you know, where you don't necessarily think to bring a very specific patient case to, because my audience wasn't even necessarily practitioners at that point. But I wanted to use that advice. So I did bring a very specific patient case, and I was just honestly amazed at, you know, my presentation was going to be maybe 20, 30 minutes long, and it was going to go through all kinds of stuff. And I thought, oh, I'll give them the patient case to start with, 2 to 5 minutes. We literally talked about the one patient case for like 25 minutes, and it ended up allowing me to cover everything that I wanted to cover with them just by demonstrating the story. So I think that that's good advice as we go along too, is just don't lose track of the importance of making sure we're clearly articulating the story, because sometimes we like to assume, or we maybe know, oh, they understand what a pharmacist can do as part of the team or in these roles now that we've been doing these for several years. And that's just, honestly, that's not always the case. And I think that would be some advice that I would share, is don't be afraid to specifically articulate the story and use specific patient cases as examples.
Yeah, for sure. That's great. You know, and just thinking about a new practitioner, you know, someone, goodness, I mean, that's so exciting. I'm envious of people entering the profession right now. But, you know, looking back and just thinking about some of the right decisions I made and some of the wrong decisions I made, there's going to be both of those along the way. You know, I guess first, you know, for the people that are just entering the profession, you know, don't be frustrated if you don't get your dream job right out of school. You know, I think very few of us, if any, really do, and you don't really know what that dream job might be. But as you are trying to get to that position or to that point in your life or that professional level that you're hoping, you know, really welcome every single opportunity. You know, it may not be an opportunity that you think you're going to enjoy, or maybe it's not the easiest one, but you're going to be amazed at what you learn. And sometimes you'll be surprised at what opportunities come out of that. And the other thing is, you know, it is okay to be uncomfortable at times. I talk about that with learners that are working with me. Sometimes if I encourage them to see a patient, you know, that we're going to be seeing during our clinic day, they're maybe a little nervous in doing so because they haven't seen that type of patient before. It's maybe a little bit challenging. And that happens to all of us all the time. You know, if you feel safe, that's good. You know, if you feel a little uncomfortable, you know, that's okay as well. And we don't need to fix all the patients every single time. You know, chip away at it. They're going to be appreciative of it. And you'll learn along the way as well.
Yeah, I love that. I agree completely. And yeah, I think always, you know, that's so true. We as pharmacists would love to get a really complicated patient with all kinds of issues and fix it in the first visit. Yeah. That's something my team and I work on. You know, unfortunately, we can't fix everything in 30 minutes or whatever, right? So, you know, establishing that relationship and rapport with the patient, showing them empathy and that you care, and then, you know, chipping away at those issues is exactly what, you know, what is capable in roles like this, which is what's really exciting. But yeah, I think it was fun to learn about your practice site, Mike, and your expertise and experience for sure. And hopefully others will find this helpful.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Drea. I hope you all have enjoyed this today.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Emerging Leaders Podcast. If you have any questions, please reach out to the Pharmacy Society of Wisconsin, and we will connect you with the speakers today. Keep tuning in to the Emerging Leaders Podcast for more important conversations for pharmacy professionals. Thank you for listening.